Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. And we have a great show lined up for you today. Listen, we've been a little off schedule with Easter. And then on Friday, if you were listening in, I had a really special surprise for you that I'm going to recap here in just a little bit. But I haven't had a chance to talk with you and tell you some things that have been on my heart. So I wanted to take that space today. We have a lot of things to talk about. So hang with me here. I'm going to tell you about last week's healthy habit, actually, that I missed out on Friday because I was on the road doing a special show for you. We'll talk about the habit of giving generously and catch up on that. I also want to continue the talk about Child Abuse Prevention Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. There are some important things that you need to know to keep your family safe, and so we'll talk about that. And then I'll give you a recap of the time that I had this last weekend spending with Nick Vujicic of Nick V Ministries. Such an incredible, powerful time together. We're going to be continuing a collaboration on Champions for the Brokenhearted. So if you've missed out on that, or even if you've been following along, I want to catch you up and share with you a lot of those things that I have learned there. So let's get to it here on this busy Monday. The first thing that I have to tell you about, though, I have an announcement to make, an invitation to you from American Family Association to join them at AFA at the ARC in 2025. Now, this is October 30th and 31st. They are inviting you to attend the Creation Museum and ARC Encounter in Kentucky. Many of you may have seen this on the news or seen pictures of it, but AFA is inviting you to a special excursion. Now, the cost is $295 for adults who are 18 and over, $125 for kids 3 to 17, and it's free for kids 2 and under. And what is included in that is transportation to the Creation Museum and the ARC Encounter from the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. They'll give you a tour of the Creation Museum on Thursday and the ARC Encounter on Friday. On Thursday, you'll have dinner with a special presentation by Answers in Genesis astronomer Dr. Danny Faulkner. It also includes Friday breakfast and a Friday special presentation by Answers in Genesis Vice President of Educational Content, Dr. Georgia Purdom. Friday dinner and a panel discussion with Tony Vitagliano, Walker Wildman, Wesley Wildman, the Vice Presidents of American Family Association. So if you would like to go, the registration is going to close on October 2nd. You can go to afa.net/events. And just go to afa.net. You'll find your way there. Click on AFA at the ARC. And there is a limited room block at the hotel with a discounted rate you can find on the registration page. So this might be a fall excursion for you and your family. And so wanted to issue that invitation to you from American Family Association. Now, having said that, let's dive into last week's healthy habit because I missed out on talking to you about it and I need to catch up. If you've been following along, 52 habits for healthy families. Does not matter your age or stage of family. Doesn't matter if you're grandparents, if you're not parents, any human anywhere, these are great healthy habits to have for you. And if you do them, you will see a difference in your relationships and your outlook on life. And so if you've missed out, you can go back to the Dr. Nurse Mama coaching minutes, find them on any podcast platform, afa.net, AFR's app. If you didn't know, they have an app. If you're an app using sort of listener, you can find them there. Just 1 minute recaps. In the first month, I talked about spiritual disciplines that are essential: prayer, scripture, church, worship music. Then we moved into talking about some rhythms that your family needs, some rhythms of practicing gratitude, even when you don't feel like it, having a daily devotional, having a morning and bedtime routine, having good sleep hygiene, eating dinner together as a family, having a weekly check-in. And then we moved into some communication skills starting in week 12. Now, this was my story in growing up. I grew up in a family that was deeply impacted by addiction. And in different times, we're just now starting to talk about mental health and trauma and different ways of doing things. It's not enough just to remove yourself from the situation. You have to unlearn and relearn new patterns of communication, new patterns of relating to each other. That's what we talked about and walked through. And I know that that resonated with a lot of you. I heard from a lot of you about those shows. They were convicting. I know they were convicting to me as well. We talked about listening with your face, having words of affirmation, apologizing sincerely, writing letters. And last week we talked about modeling your faith. Now that was really, really important. And last week's habit was giving generously. Now we didn't talk about it. I'm talking about it now. I'm taking this Monday to have Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, which I can do that sometimes. You know, I feel like in pediatrics, sometimes, you know, we just get creative and that's okay. But everywhere you turn today, the message from culture is loud and clear. Take care of yourself, treat yourself, splurge a little. You deserve it. And there is nothing wrong with enjoying good things. There isn't. But when that self-focus, when that self-serving becomes a way of life, honestly, our lives get smaller, not bigger. We think it gets bigger by adding more stuff into it, but it really gets smaller. And that circle, that when we have life that circles around our own needs, our own comfort, our own plans, it's really defeating and deflating. It is counterfeit, honestly, because we think treating ourselves, that's going to make me happy, but it very rarely does. And let me encourage you by telling you God's vision for us is so much bigger. The last week's verse that goes along with the healthy habit comes from Deuteronomy 15:10. And we read, "Give generously and do so without a grudging heart. Because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to." I have found that God is so generous with our most meager offerings. We can just offer just a little bit of effort and He blesses so much more above and beyond what we ever deserve. And that is the grace of our God. Now, generosity is a command from God, but it's also an invitation to a different way of living. This is a way that stretches us beyond ourselves, and it roots us right in the middle of God's blessing. So let's talk about what does it mean to have a healthy habit of giving generously. Let me spoil it right up front. I am not just talking about money. I am talking about time, your talent, your energy, your emotional and physical energy, and your mental energy in a way that creates real lasting impact. And we'll challenge that cultural narrative of treat yourself. And I'll share how generosity is just one of the best things that you can do. It's not just about for others. Yes, we bless others, but it helps your own health, your own happiness, your own spiritual vitality. So the truth is that giving is God's design for flourishing. We were not designed to hoard blessings. We were designed to give. And science backs this up because studies show generous people have lower rates of depression, they have lower blood pressure, they live longer lives, they're less likely to have risk-taking behaviors, they're more likely to be satisfied with their life situation, satisfied in their relationships. So that is the good thing about our God, is that He didn't command us to give just for the receiver's benefit. Yes, we always think about we want to bless others. Of course we want that. But God in His goodness makes that for our own good too. And as we read in Deuteronomy 15:10, this is not just a transactional thing. This is not an if-then. This is all about a check on your heart posture. And this verse doesn't just tell us what to do. It tells us how to do it without a grudging heart. There are so many times that we give with a grudging heart. Now, the stereotypical way to think about this is giving your money, and we think, okay, yes, we should tithe, yes, we should give an offering. But you know what I see in families today? We are so grudging about giving our time. We are so grudging about giving our attention. We're like, okay. I mean, you think about kids who are, you're watching them in the pool. What is the one thing that they say over and over and over again? Watch me, watch me, watch this. Heaven forbid you avert your eyes for one moment. And we think, okay, yes, I'm watching, I'm watching. Can we just go to the next thing? What if we use that time to pray a prayer over them, to think thoughts of gratitude, to just have peace and rest in the moment instead of being tethered to our smartphone? We're begrudging giving time to the real people who are in front of us while we're invested in the alternate reality that our friends are creating on social media. This is the truth. Generosity without joy, that's just obligation. But true generosity, generosity of the heart, it changes the giver first, and then it blesses the receiver. God is going to give the blessings that he intends to give. We just have the enormous privilege of being invited to receive in that blessing ourselves. And a heart posture of open-handedness really invites God's blessing into all areas of our life. So where culture says, you've earned it, you deserve it, Scripture says, you've received it. I've withheld nothing. I love to give good gifts. You have that. Now share it. Instant gratification says, oh, let's take that extra shopping trip. Let's have that impulsive splurge. And it may feel good for a moment, but it leaves us unchanged. It doesn't nourish our souls. It doesn't bless others. And that self-indulgence satisfies for a moment, while generosity satisfies for a lifetime. Now, real fulfillment doesn't come from consuming more. It comes from contributing more, from giving more. So let's look at this self-serving versus self-giving posture. Let me give you a contrast. Self-serving is scrolling on your phone for an hour every evening, detached from everyone around you, telling yourself you're just decompressing, you're just having some me time. But self-giving would be choosing to call a friend who's going through a hard time, offering real presence instead of passive distraction. Where do we tend to give that? Now, self-serving is spending that extra income you have, upgrading to the newest phone, maybe when your current one works just fine. Oh, I know, I just stepped on some toes. It's not wrong to get a new phone, but it is right to ask yourself the question of, are you missing an opportunity to give? Maybe you use part of that bonus to support a local ministry. That's self-giving. Of giving of yourself. Maybe it's a food pantry. Maybe it's a student raising mission funds, trying to get money to go to camp this year. I'm going to be a sucker for that every single time. Self-serving is keeping your weekends completely free. I need to recover, but maybe you feel more isolated and unfulfilled. Self-giving is volunteering and using that time, whether it's serving at church or mentoring someone or taking someone a meal or coaching youth sports and finding renewed purpose through connection. Self-serving is saying, hey, I'm too busy when asked for help. I can't do that. But later, you spend that time on Netflix or errands that could wait. Self-giving is making the harder choice to show up for someone, maybe helping them move, delivering a meal, simply being present because those relationships are worth the inconvenience. Self-serving is taking every opportunity to advance your career, advance your reputation, advance your monetary goals. But self-giving is celebrating and advocating for others' success, even when it doesn't necessarily benefit you. Now, let's be clear. Self-care matters. Jesus himself withdrew to quiet places to pray. He didn't always have something to give. He wanted to be rest, to be restored. We aren't called to burn ourselves out in the name of serving or giving to others. But in today's world, let's be honest, the greater temptation for most of us isn't overgiving, it's undergiving. And we live in that culture that constantly tells us, protect our time, protect our energy, protect our money, make sure there's always enough left over, and boundaries are healthy. But honestly, most of us have a lot more margin than we think, especially on our phones. That few less mindless hours on our phone, a few less dollars spent on things that don't last, a few moments of inconvenience or discomfort, suddenly you'll find room to give. I'll finish up this healthy habit when we come back, and I'll start talking to you and give you some important information about Child Abuse Prevention Month. There are things that everybody needs to know to keep our kiddos safe. Don't go away. I'll see you on the other side of this break. Because of the generous donations provided from listeners like you, Preborn has rescued over 330,000 babies. But every day, the abortion industry is taking thousands of babies' lives, and we have to save them. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight for the lives of babies, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation by sponsoring an ultrasound. You can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
I believe there is one salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. By his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah, his life is destiny. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King
Welcome back, friends. That is I Believe by Phil Wickham, and that is in my list of top 10. I know, I have 87 songs in the top 10. I don't care. I'm not going to apologize. I love songs like that that really get my blood pumping and remind me to be grateful for the gift that I have, that God has given me. And we are talking about gifts that you can give other people today. This week's healthy habit, actually last week's healthy habit that I'm catching up on, is giving generously. And we've been talking about the ways that you can give. And building generosity into your routines really should just be like any other healthy habit. What is your, maybe you have a generosity budget, not just finances, but time and energy that you give. Have you ever thought about that? We think about what percentage perhaps of your income you might give to your church, or what percentage of a bonus that you might get. But think about, do you budget time to give away? Do you budget an hour or two each month to volunteer? Do you budget time each day for your family? I'm telling you, technology is the thief of time. And if you look at your smartphone, you will see how much time is stolen from you. I am convinced that it is one of the greatest threats to the American family, is the thief of time through that, where we just spend time doing nothing that matters. So can you start small? Can you have one act of giving each day a week? Can you have a time budget for your family and just pray, Lord, show me where I can give today, where I can give my money, my time, my talent. And generosity is so much not about the size of the gift. It is all about the shape of your heart when you give. And most of us think about giving what we have, but giving is about who we are becoming. It's not just an action. This is a lifestyle. Push back against the cultural tide of self-absorption and live wide open towards others. And I see that so often. I see that in the parent who stays late to coach neighborhood kids. I see it in a teenager who is choosing to serve instead of to scroll. I see it in someone, in a business person who anonymously makes a donation for someone's hospital bill. It's those simple, everyday people who decide, my life is not going to be measured by what I have, but by what I give away. And so I trust you as we, I really beg you, as we wrap up today, I really want to leave you with this, thinking about giving generously. The greatest gift that you can give your family, especially your children, it's not something you order online. It's not a vacation. It's not a gadget. It's not a bigger house. It's not sports lessons. It's not a busier calendar. It is your time. That is what your family craves, your presence, your real, full, undistracted presence. It is worth so much more to your loved ones than anything that you could ever buy. Your kids are not going to remember those perfectly curated moments for social media. They remember your attention. They remember when you sit down and you listen without rushing, without telling them, hurry up, we gotta go, come on, let's go. They remember when you laugh at their stories, when you turn off the screen, when you look at them in the eyes. And in a world that is always pulling us to be somewhere else, doing something else, giving your full attention during time given to your family, that is radical and that is beautiful. That is generosity. So I challenge you to ask yourself, really, truly, right now, answer this question for me. Who in your life needs more than your money or resources? Who needs your presence in their life? Who needs your time? Who needs your attention? And start there and give your time like the treasure it truly is. Our time is such a treasure, and we hoard our money while we waste our time so freely. But if you do that little act of obedience, watch how God multiplies it, not just in the hearts of your children, in the hearts of your family, in the hearts of your loved ones, but in yours as well. And I'm convinced that we need to spend time talking about Child Abuse Prevention Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Now, obviously, this is a tough conversation. I will frame it gently. And today, I am not here in any way, shape, or form to create fear. I am here to create wisdom, action, hope, intentionality, because protecting children is one of the highest callings that God gives to families. Listen to this from Matthew 18, chapter 18, verse 6. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned into the depths of the sea. This is how seriously God takes these things. And the reality is we are seeing a threat of epidemic portions. I shared with you over the last weekend, I was at the Champions for the Broken Hearted Summit with Nick V Ministries. And this was one of the things we talked about. One of those populations that need special attention is people who are abused. And the truth is, 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 13 boys will experience sexual abuse at some point before age 18. And that is likely underreported. It's likely more than that. But here is the thing that you need to know. More than 90% of abused children know their abuser. It is usually not a stranger. And as parents, we are so hyper aware of stranger danger. And that is important. Don't get me wrong. It's still important to talk to your kids about that. But that is very, very unlikely. High threat, low likeliness. This is something you need to talk about, because many times predators will move into your family circle, move into your church circle, and they try to gain your trust, especially in communities of faith, Abusers will say it is easier to exploit children in a community of faith because I can learn how to talk the talk. I can learn how to look the part. And then there is vulnerability there because in a church environment, we're naturally vulnerable. We share our fears. We share our past experiences. And some people can use those to exploit our children. Now, as you feel the fear creeping up, remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And I'm going to talk to you about how you can empower your kids and love them enough to talk to them about the things they're experiencing and have a sound mind to respond. But that being said, the greatest threat to our kids is not some stranger lurking in the shadows. It is unchecked access. It is misplaced trust. And that unchecked access, a lot has to do with online activities and misplaced trust in people we think that we can trust. Now, we can learn from history. We see over the course of history, societies that normalize or turn a blind eye or even enable exploitation of children, which you all know if you listen all the time. I primarily work in the field of human trafficking. I know this is happening. I see this firsthand. We are seeing the normalization and even the celebration of this. And those societies collapsed. They did. And that corruption eroded families. And when families collapse, culture follows. That's just the fact. Protecting children is not just a personal responsibility, although it is an important one. It is a way that we have to preserve the health of the next generation and the future itself. It's so important. History shows us when a society stops protecting its children, it starts preparing for its own downfall. And I am convinced that this is a turning point for our country because when I look at the exploitation of children, it has increased so much. And even since COVID, I won't burden you with the details that I know, but I am telling you this is happening and we are seeing laws that enable this to happen, which seems unfathomable, but that is very true. So let's counter some common misconceptions that will help us to see abuse for what it is, to recognize it, call it out, and most importantly, prevent it. I had someone ask me not too long ago, is it your life mission to help people who have experienced human trafficking? And I said, absolutely not. That is not my life mission. My life mission in that arena, in that space, is to help people not experience trafficking, to help people not experience abuse. We want to prevent it. So here is myth number one. It won't happen in my family. I know that can happen in other places, but not my family. But the truth is, abuse often happens inside trusted circles, including families. You can't have a not my family mantra. Vigilance has to happen even with people you know. And you, I'm sure, have heard stories of people being abused by a family member who come forward and they say, this person abused me. And you think, oh, Uncle so-and-so could never do that. That could never happen. We have to understand that it can happen in any family. Myth number two, we need to teach stranger danger. Well, that's partially true, but again, 90% of cases involve a relative, a family friend, a coach, a neighbor, a babysitter, or even a trusted church leader. So yes, we need to be aware of strangers, but we also need to be aware of the people in our circles. Myth number three, talking about it will scare my kids. That is not true. The reality is age-appropriate conversations empower kids and reduce fear. It gives them an open door to talk to you about anything scary that happens to them, and it helps them to feel like they have a lifeline. They have words to describe what they see, what they experience, what they're afraid of. Silence increases vulnerability. I can't tell you how many survivors I've talked with who said, no one ever had a conversation with me about abuse prevention. You need to have those conversations. So those are some of the most common myths that I see. Now, I don't want to leave you there. Let me give you some practical faith-based protection steps. Number one, Build open communication early. Talk about it early and often. You need to create an environment in your home where kids can talk about anything. This is something I tell my kids all the time. You know, you can always talk to me about anything. And they roll their eyes. Yeah, mom. Yeah, we know. And if they're not rolling their eyes at you, you're not doing your job. You're not saying it enough. Because I can't tell you how many times my kids have come back to me. And the opening line to that conversation is, you know how you tell me I can always talk to you about anything? Well, what about this? Can we talk about this? Yes, we can talk about that. Especially things that make them uncomfortable. Tell them, you can always talk to me about anything. And a conversation I use from very early on is, you're in a world that is surrounded by screens. And we're in a world where there's constantly new things happening. So if anything ever happens to you where you feel like you're confused and you don't understand what happened and you're uncomfortable, come and talk to me about it. Let them know nothing you tell me will ever make me stop loving you. I will love you no matter what you tell me. The second thing that you can do is have a body safety conversation. Now, if you were listening on Friday, I talked about this a little bit with Jenna Quinn. Let me dive into this for a little more detail. I talked on Friday about how we used to have good touch, bad touch conversations. Those are not good conversations to have, actually. We should talk about safe touch and unsafe touch, because if you talk about it good or bad, if you say bad touch and somebody touches them in a way they perceive to be bad, the child takes that on as themselves, like, I have been bad. And that is far from the truth. It's much easier for them to say, I felt unsafe. That wasn't safe. You didn't put me in a safe situation. So that is important, to teach them about their body, how it works, what their body parts are, even from a young age, and know that God made every part of their body. And yes, we have to talk about different parts of our body are meant to be private, different parts of our body are what can we do with our body in public versus in private, you know, as far as what we wear and those kinds of things. But teach them that one of the most important things you can do is teach them they have a God-given right to personal boundaries, that it is okay to protect themselves. No is a holy word when it comes to protecting themselves. They don't have to feel bad about saying no to an adult. And so often, especially as Christian families, we teach our kids to respect their elders. But what happens when the elder abuses that trust that they have? We need to tell them when they can say no. And that is when they feel unsafe. It is okay to say no. You say no, you run away, you do whatever you need to do to feel safe, and then I'll handle that with you. And if you misinterpreted that or something was something you didn't understand, we'll work that out later. But you do what you need to do to feel safe. It's also important to set accountability structures. No adult should ever have unsupervised, secretive one-on-one access to your children, including relatives or pastors. No adult should have that. And of course, there's going to be some exceptions. If you have a grandmother who's taking care of kids, and those people should be so few and far between and have such a high level of trust to bar, that should be there. You should have two adult rules for any church events, for any sleepovers, for any sports teams. No peripheral adult should ever be alone with your child. Well, when we come back, I'm going to finish giving you two more tips. We talked about making sure that you build open communication early, that you teach body safety conversations, and that you set accountability structures. When we come back, I'll talk more with some tips, and I'm also going to give some specific tips for keeping teens and young adults safe, especially as the summer comes up and they have more freedom. I'll also give you a recap on the summit for the Champions for the Brokenhearted. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Father God, I am clay in your hands. Help me to stay that way through all life's demands. Cause they chip and they nag and they pull at me. And every little thing I make up my mind to be. Like I'ma be a daddy who's in the mix. And I'ma be a husband who stays legit. And I pray that I'm an artist who rises above the road that is wide and filled with self-love. Everything that I see draws me. Though it's only in you that I can truly see that it's a feast for the eyes, a low blow to purpose. And I'm a little kid at a three-ring circus.
I don't wanna gain the whole world and lose my soul.
Welcome back, friends. That is Lose My Soul by Toby Mac, featuring Kirk Franklin and Mandisa. And that's what we're talking about today. I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. We've talked about giving generously. That was last week's healthy habit that I missed on Friday because I was on the road doing a special show, which I'll talk to you about in just a little bit. If you missed it, go back and check it out. It was so powerful, so good. And we're right in the middle right now of talking about Child Abuse Prevention Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Really tough topics, but ones that we absolutely need to talk about. So I've been sharing ways that you can help protect your kids. First is building open communication early. Second is teaching them body safety. Third is setting those accountability structures around your kids. Don't be afraid to be that parent, to have the rules in place. And I get lots of questions about sleepovers and sleepunders. I've talked about that before. I'll be talking about a lot of that this summer when we talk about tech issues and tech boundaries. But the last two things I want to tell you is to model and practice situational awareness. So teach it. We think of the trust your gut instinct, but really we need to be teaching our kids to trust the Holy Spirit in them. I had a guest once tell me there is no junior Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that is in us as adults is in children who know the Lord. And we need to tell them to trust that voice of discernment inside of them. If it's telling them to be uneasy and that something is off, they need to be free to articulate that to you. And sometimes it can be really hard. But listen, what is harder than that is sitting in conversations where I have seen people experience abuse who made an outcry but thought, no, there's no way that could be happening because there's no way it could be this person. And that leads us to the last, but the most important thing that you need to do to protect your kids, pray for them. Pray for wisdom in who you allow access to your kids and pray with your kids so that they can cultivate a sense of God's protection and God's nearness. Protect them in every way that you can. Keep them with you in every way that you can, but recognize that they're not going to be with you 24/7 and teach them, when you're not with me, I'm praying for God to keep you safe. I'm praying for him to go before you, behind you, beside you, above you, beneath you, all around you. I am praying for God's protection. Give them verses on God's protection so they know how God is protecting them and to feel his nearness. And listen, it is easy to fear overwhelmed, but fear is not our finish line. It's not. Preparedness is our act of love. Abuse can be prevented. Families can raise kids who are resilient, who are wise, who are protected, and God entrusts children to families not to shelter them for the world, although we do that for a time, but we also need to prepare them to stand strong in it. And that courageous parenting isn't about having all levels of control. It's about having faith that we have faith that God will protect our kids and that he will walk with us through whatever comes our way. So maybe have one brave conversation with your kids. Ask them how they feel about their safety. Just start building those open doors. Seek some resources. Maybe that's from your church, from your children's ministry. Maybe that's from your pediatric primary care provider. Ask them for resources on having those conversations with your kids. Challenge your church. Challenge the schools to make sure that they have real child safety policies, not just good intentions, that they're following through. And make sure you're praying for protection and wisdom and courage for families. Now, before I leave this, let me talk specifically about teens and college students, because we've got a lot of teens who are graduating or who are in high school who will be free for the summer, and college students who maybe are coming home. So let me give you a few quick tips. I'm just going to give you a few to help keep them safe. First of all, keep communication open and frequent. Don't just check in, really. Instead of just, what are you doing? Just ask them, how are you, instead of saying, imagine, where are you going tonight? Ask them, how are you feeling about where you're going tonight? Well, then that's going to encompass two things, and ask them, okay, how are you feeling about that? You feel great about it? You feel anxious about it? Where is it? And agree on those non-negotiable safe calls, whether that's a check-in when they're arriving or they're leaving places. Talk about what that communication looks like. But set clear expectations and boundaries before those situations arise. Define those boundaries together, not as control, but as protection. And you can say, hey, I trust you enough to have this conversation with you, and I love you enough to make some clear boundaries for you. Let's talk about what those will be. Let's talk about the expectations and the boundaries. Teach them situational awareness, to always know their surroundings, to always have an exit plan. Great kids can get in bad situations that they completely didn't expect. Maybe a friend that they're going with that they trust makes a poor choice, and then all of a sudden they find themselves in a dangerous situation. It's really important to have that no questions asked rescue plan. So this is a code word. Maybe it's a code text. It can be even an emoji that your kid can send you if they're in an uncomfortable or dangerous situation. And I've talked about this before, because when they call and they tell you, hey, I want you to come pick me up. Why? What's going on? What's happening? Well, I'm not sure. I just, is someone drinking there? What's happening? What's not being safe? But they're just trying to get out of the situation. So go to their rescue, get them out of the situation, ask the questions later. Don't give the lecture in the moment. Give safety first. Tell them you'll pick them up anywhere, anytime, with just that emergency code word. That's really important to do. Be smart about social media. Make sure, don't post your location in real time. That can invite unwanted attention. Wait until after you leave an event to post about it. And only use private accounts and limit who sees those personal stories and locations. That can be really, really important. Another thing that's important for kids, teenagers who are going out, go out in groups, leave together. Have a buddy system. Have someone who looks out for you. Make sure you never leave anybody alone. And tell them to trust their gut, trust the Holy Spirit in them. If something feels off, consider it off until proven otherwise. That's important. Now, we have to equip them, not just lecture them. So instead of just saying, now don't do this and don't do that, we teach them how to respond when things go wrong. What are the empowering things that we can do? Now, maybe that's role-playing different scenarios. Now, I'm telling you, when you role-play these scenarios with your kids and say, okay, tell me what you would say, your kids are not going to say, oh, thank you so much for this great opportunity. This is great. They're going to say, oh, mom, oh, really? Are you serious? And they may drag their feet, and they may begrudgingly go through the motions, but we don't care. As their parents, you shouldn't care. Who cares if they hate it? That's your job, is to empower them, to equip them to be safe. That's important. Now, when we think about summer, it brings a lot of freedom, but it also brings spiritual drift. So encourage them to stay connected to their faith community, whether that's a college ministry, a local church, a mission trip maybe, and remind them that freedom isn't the absence of accountability. It's the power to choose wisely. That is the difference. I'm going to say that again. Freedom isn't the absence of accountability. It's the power to choose wisely. That is really important. And when you're thinking about them having a summer job or a summer trip, those are great opportunities, but those are also risky. So talk to them. How do you make sure that your housing is safe, where you're staying is going to be safe? You recognize risks in a new environment. These are all important things to talk about. So have talks often with your kids. There's so much more I could say about this. Honestly, I could talk for a whole day and I wouldn't tell you everything that you need to know. So that's why keep listening in. We'll keep having this conversation. We'll keep talking about how to keep your kids safe. But pray with them, pray for them, and have open conversation. Talk to them and listen to those concerns that they're bringing to you. That's really important. And when we're thinking about, I see kids who experience abuse, kids who experience assault, we see so many people in this world who are brokenhearted today. And that's one of the reasons I am really grateful to be partnering with Nick Vujicic Ministries. You may know him as Nick V Ministries, and his Champions for the Brokenhearted. And Nick, I became aware of his initiative, the Champions for the Brokenhearted. And when I started to look at that, I was able to meet Nick. And I am really grateful to say that I didn't just meet Nick. I count Nick a friend. Now, if you don't know who Nick is, he is an Australian man who was born without any arms or legs. His parents knew that he was going to be born this way, and they were brokenhearted for their son. They didn't know what kind of life he would have, but they stepped out in faith, and it was hard for him. He actually attempted to take his own life when he was just 10 years old, but God saved him and God called him for a purpose. And I am telling you, there is something so powerful about watching a man born without any arms or legs whose calling in life is to be the hands and feet of Christ. Now, that is an irony that is only divinely orchestrated, and he would be the first to tell you that. His testimony is such a beautiful affirmation of life, and he has an initiative called Champions for the Brokenhearted. You may have heard me talking about it. I've already been talking about it already this year. You can go to nickvministries.org and learn more about it, and each month there is a focus on a different population of hurting people, of people who are brokenhearted. In January, Nick was on the show here. We talked about the trafficked. Now, Nick has been all over the world. His testimony is nothing short of amazing. Just last week in South America, he was preaching to a crowd of almost 1 million people. Can you even imagine? He has spoken with many people in many countries who have been trafficked, sat eye to eye with them, heart to heart with them. He has a real heart for that. In February, we talked about the unborn. In March, he came back and we talked about the disabled. Now, again, hearing him say his testimony, it really makes you rethink your level of gratitude. And he talked about those things. In all of these populations, and I'll tell you a little bit more about the others, if you go to nickvministries.org, you will find completely free curriculum and resources for you available online. So especially if you're a church leader, Nick has a heart to equip the local church to respond. There was a mental health professional at the summit. His name is Eric Scalise. He has worked to help write all of this curriculum. And he has said there is a mental health crisis. We know that's true. There are not enough mental health professionals to address it. We must equip the church to respond to it. So if you look, you'll see a personalized message from Nick to whoever this population of brokenhearted is. And then you'll see resources. You can find support books. You can find other testimonies. For example, I'm looking right now at the curriculum for the disabled, and there's a course on there from Nick's friend, Bethany Hamilton. Many of you will know her as a Hawaiian surfer who lost her arm in a shark attack. We have Joni Erickson Tada, who was paralyzed in a diving accident when she was a young woman. There are so many resources there that you can use in your church. And there is also an opportunity for further training. The April population is the prisoner. I talked to Jay Harvey on Friday. Completely compelling. I cannot wait to have him back. This man has been in almost 400 prisons. in the United States and has ministered to thousands and thousands of prisoners. And just over the weekend, we met a man named Luther who was just released from prison a couple of months ago. There's a movie about his life that has been shown to inmates everywhere and talking about how he was arrested for armed robbery. But God got a hold of his life while he was in prison. And he has been running a church behind prison walls for more than a decade now. And now he is out on the other side to talk about his experience. We also have the orphan, the widowed, the abused, the addicted, the suicidal, the bullied, the veteran, the poor. And I have so much more to say about this. You'll hear me talking more about this on Friday when I talk about the brokenhearted, because we live in a culture that's flooded with disconnection, fragmented families, strained marriages, shallow friendships. There is an epidemic of loneliness and anxiety and depression and abuse and betrayal. We have false promises of happiness through wealth and image and fame and instant gratification. These are leaving people emptier, not fuller. It is counterfeit. And many people have very deep wounds, but we can see that Jesus has compassion for the brokenhearted. They don't need a quick fix. They need a safe place to land. We can't fix their problems, but we can fix our eyes on Jesus. And we may not have all the answers, but we have the answer living inside of us in a world full of broken hearts. We can be the beating heart of Jesus, and compassion and truth together heal what nothing else can do. I'll be talking more about these. Compassion for the Brokenhearted. We'll be continuing to partner with Nick V Ministries to feature one of these populations every month. We have Nick coming on the show many times. And in the meantime, on this Monday, I pray the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And I can't wait to see you back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.